All rise, all respect the bell. Hi, everybody. Nick Rogers here. Time for the Crunch Exchange. It's how we wrap up Crunch Time on Wednesdays. I bring up a prospectus from the world of sports. Steve then tells us if he's buying, selling, or the now often used pending option. We begin with the U.S. women's national team, who barely survived against Spain on Monday. Not only did they surrender their first goal of the tournament, they had far and away their worst showing so far in the World Cup. Just some stats showing the drop that they've had through their first four games against Thailand. 84% passing completion on 649 attempts, 40 shots attempted. Chile, passing attempts goes up to 86, the passing number of attempts down 522, only 26 shots. Sweden, 82% passing, 602 attempts, only 16 shots. And then against Spain, 76% passing on only 424 attempts, only 2 shots. That's through a combination of bad passing and great pass defense. The U.S. didn't get anything going, and of their 10 shots, only 2 were on target, and both of them were penalties, and relying on penalties before the penalty kick shootout is no way to win the World Cup. Manager Jill Ellis was criticized for her use of subs, running Alex Morgan into the ground when she clearly didn't have the legs to keep going, and not being able to change up the system to break the Spanish defense. Quarterfinal matchup against Spain away the U.S. on Friday, and Team USA cannot afford to rely on France giving away penalties. This might be one of the earliest times that the U.S. is facing legit adversity in a game that isn't the final. The prospectus: Team USA bounces back from their bad showing against Spain and beats the French.
Oof. I am so torn on this, and I can't go pending because you can't ask me this in the middle of the match.
That's true.
I'm putting a lot of this on Team Francais. Because a lot, they have a reputation of when they're at home, when they're in a big match, or if, you know, they've got the edge of being in Europe, they either play great or like crap. I think the Americans are pretty consistent, but I could lead with my heart here. Americans bounce back, beat the French, and advance. Bye.
If the Cleveland Browns were a dumpster fire, then the New York Mets are a barge of garbage that's on fire, floating it down a river that's on fire, heading towards a waterfall where at the bottom is, you guessed it, more fire. Manager Mickey Callaway on Monday threatened a reporter who ended their session by saying, "See you tomorrow, Mickey." Then pitcher Jason Vargas wanted to fight the same reporter. Callaway tried to apologize but only got so far as, "Well, I didn't punch anyone," and then had to apologizing for not apologizing well by continuing to not apologize for threatening to fight a reporter. Then, on top of all of this, are reports that GM Brody Van Wagenen has been calling into the dugout from his home, telling Callaway how to manage the game, taking pictures out early, and essentially being the manager of a team like it's a video game, which is exactly what Major League Baseball and Mets fans should have expected when they hired an agent to be their new GM. On top of the fights and the dumpster fire barge and a river of fire, being an at-home GM calling into the dugout is pretty much against every major MLB rule that they have. And I'm not sure how one puts out a barge of trash that's on fire on a river of fire heading towards a waterfall of fire, but that's exactly what Fred Wilpon needs to do. And being a Wilpon, this probably means he's going to end up on fire too, and this is all before the Mets call up Tim Tebow in about 2 months. The prospectus: the Mets will clean house at the end of the season, firing Brody Van Wagenen and Mickey Callaway.
You know, I'm not sure about the GM. I do think Callaway is gone. So what if I'm sure about one, not about the other?
Are you more sure about one? Does the scales tip maybe 51-49 and you can buy?
I'm way more sure the manager is gone. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure he lasts this year. So, and that would be in the name of the GM saving his ass. So a firing or a cleaning of the house? That reeks of pending, I guess.
Ted, my boy, it's gonna be legend. Wait for it.
Gonna put you down as a buy as well. That sounded pretty convincing. The Rays need a new stadium. They've wanted a new stadium since day one of opening Tropicana Field when they realized no one was going to show up to watch a team in a gross stadium that was built in the wrong part of town. On top of that, most of the time, the Rays haven't been good enough to want people to want to go see. For some reason, the Rays think the best way to get their new, at least one new stadium is by asking for two new stadiums, hoping that Major League Baseball and the city of Tampa will just be like, all right, fine, you can have one, but not two. And Montreal is just crazy enough of a city for Tampa to say they're going to play in because of nostalgia. People miss the Expos, their confusing, beautiful logo, the baby blue jerseys, the French having to watch baseball in Canada, having a second team to root for again. The Nationals are trying to capitalize on that nostalgia by bringing back some Expos jerseys in a throwback game, and Montreal is always on the list of teams that in the East Coast that could be added in another round of expansion. Not sure if Tampa was using Montreal because they're serious about becoming the Rays, but you spell it R-E-H-S. That's not a good audio joke. Because Mr. Manfred wants to show Montreal that he's serious about their seriousness about hosting a baseball team again, but Montreal wants baseball one way or another, and it seems like they're inching closer to that. The prospectus, Major League Baseball will announce that baseball is returning to Montreal within 3 years.
False. Sell it. I can't have it.
The French cannot watch our baseball. With NBA free agency just 4 days away and the legal tampering period about to open up, the league is rampant with rumors. KD's officially a free agent, opting out from the Warriors. Teams are making trades to clear room on the salary cap. And Jimmy Butler has the latest one, wanting to go to Houston. Butler will turn 30 just before the start of the season and has already had problems in Minnesota and Philly getting along with his teammates because of a lack of having the ball in his hands. Of course, the only solution here is the Butler to team up with Mr. ISO Ball himself, James Harden. Houston is working on clearing out Clint Capella, Eric Gordon, and PJ Tucker so they can do a sign-in trade for Butler, so the math seems like it would work out, and that's the only way it would work out with all of those trades. And with the injuries that are plaguing the Warriors, 2019-20 might be the last chance that Daryl Morey has to prove that his supermath James Harden hero ball playing style is one that can win championships, despite having then 4+ players over 30 going into next season. The prospectus, the Rockets should still try and trade for Jimmy Butler.
Well, like you mentioned, with Golden State vulnerable and nobody else great, man, all of a sudden, if they and it's all got to be based on the premise nobody's taking Chris Paul. So Harden's going to be there. Paul's going to be there. So if they get a big three, they came close to knocking off the Warriors twice. I don't know how much the Blazers can upgrade. Denver looks good. They could enter the season as a favorite. They've got to make that move. They've got to try. The window with Harden and Paul is not that extensive. So I'm going to buy that.
It's going to be such a fun train wreck to watch.
It is.
Not to be forgotten in the NBA mess is the NHL, which, if you care, has just as many fun rumors going around this year, too. The draft sparks some big names being traded, and it's about that time that people hang up their skates, or in the case of Roberto Luongo, hang up their pads, as Luongo announced he is retiring. He is second in games played among goalies with 1,044, third in wins, 489, and ninth in shutouts with 77. The prospectus, Roberto Luongo is a first ballot Hall of Famer. Only one.
So he played, he started out, he was an Islander, then he was with Florida, then Vancouver, and back to Florida. He never won the Vezinov Trophy. He was a two-time All-Star. Obviously, he was huge in guiding Vancouver within a win of the Stanley Cup.
First ballot.
Yeah, I know. I don't think so. I think he's an outstanding goalie. He's a lot of guy. He's a lot like these guys who just played forever, but he wasn't in the playoffs a bunch. I'm going to sell that.
And last one real quick, the New Jersey Devils had 72 points that had them 26 out of a playoff spot, but they traded for PK Subban. They've got Jack Hughes with his hockey-studded family lineage. The New Jersey Devils make the playoffs next year.
How far out were they?
26 points.
I'm going to do a two-parter. A, I'm going to sell it. B is because I want to sell it, and then make it a three-parter. C, because I hate the Devils. So sell it. All right.